everyone who pops up opens another chamber of my heart, really, in a really profound way. And it's nothing but gratitude for each of you, not collective, but each particle. And the gratitude is potent, and it's potent enough collectively to impact each and every one of us. So it really does have a kind of purpose that all of the energy arrives together so that it can be focused into each and every one of us and take us into a deeper and more foundational part of ourselves. And it's not always easy for us to do that on our own, but this really, as Rudy taught, is an opportunity for the Shaktipat, the collective energy, to arrive at a place in each person to help each of you and me together open to places that we have not explored before. And that's a gift. Not every opportunity in life offers us that gift. So thank you for showing up. You're entering into the collective improves the richness, the depth, and the vitality of what's transmitted. And, you know, my deepest thanks to Rudy for, as he said, reparenting me and teaching me these things, which have evolved and ripened over the course of half a century, really. I think there probably are greater teachers out there, but I have learned enough to be able to share something with you. So just sit quietly, be still, be open, be available. If you're obstructed and feel like you're not really engaging in some way or your mind is off somewhere, bring it back with your breath, focus it in your heart. Hold it quietly for a little bit to get everything stilled, and then ask if you want for help to let go, to surrender, just to be. And as soon as you are in a state of real surrender and being, don't do anything, just be. And this work will come through, and it'll nurture you. And when the class is over, there will be a, what I would call a lightness of being, that you can actually allow with practice to stay with you until something comes and distracts you, which probably will happen, but you can actually go for long periods of time into multiple spaces and find this extraordinary, extraordinary still pointedness, this openness, this availability, this simplicity, and it informs, directs, and enhances your being. So try it. All of our stories really begin with how we are mothered. Some people are lucky enough to be mothered well, to have a ground of being that is accepting, that is nurturing, that is supportive, that brings one a sense of being cared for and loved. That's a great foundation for life. The only problem with it is it doesn't set you out on a search. It kind of can trap you. It's not a bad trap. They're going to be trapped. To be trapped in a mother's love is actually somewhat of a good thing. But for a spiritual journey, it is limiting. And in a way, one has to branch out. One has to leave the nest. One has to go beyond. Some of you were badly mothered, probably. I can feel it inside you. Complicated, difficult, not what you wanted, not the way it should have been. Overly protective, underloved, all of those issues. And for many of you, you fled the nest to get past all of that and then discover somewhere along the line that you've carried that nest with you. It is very hard to escape something that wasn't quite the way you wanted it to be, or the way you expected it to be, or the way you imagined it would be. And so you're living many, many years later, still attached to what wasn't, as opposed to what was. In either case, a break has to occur. One has to free oneself of the outer comfort that life presents in mothering terms, in which we celebrate today, really, on Mother's Day. The outer experience of being cared for, or the difficult possibility that you were not cared for. In either case, breaking away from that is the beginning of the journey to where that energy comes from, the source energy of love and embrace and mothering is inside you. It is expressed through the manifested form of a woman who gave birth to you or who raised you, but it arrives from somewhere else. And the true problem with most of our lives is that they are completely outer directed, trying to fix everything outside with outer effort and not finding success. It's only through initiation or woundedness or something that causes suffering and pain or difficulty or expansion and a new awareness that one begins to know that the true mother of you and of all of us is not a materialized reality. It is non-material. It is something else. And mothering can give you a clue to it. It can give you an experience of it, a sense of what it is. But the real true mothering is found by going in. And when you go in, into your heart, into your gut, into your mindfulness, into your ego-centeredness, into that place that restores you, when you go into all of these centers, you start to discover the thing that birthed you. And you start to discover that it has all of the ingredients and all of the elements that you wished your mother had, or maybe celebrate that she did have. But in either case, the external version of that mothering factor is impermanent. It does not last. It does not last in a material sense because none of us last in a material sense. And ultimately, that which our mother was or is evaporates, but that from which the mother arrived, that which really cares for us, really embraces us, really mothers us, is within. And if you can find that space in yourself that needs that mothering and actually welcomes it, which is not always easy, but if you can dig into that space and allow yourself to be re-embraced by something profoundly in love with what and who you are, that truly gave you birth, you start to find the balancing point between that which is within and that which is without. And that creates a kind of wholeness in you and a true kind of sense of having been well parented. No matter what your material mother provided for you, your true mother, father, creator has all those qualities that we try to celebrate on Mother's Day. Everyone has a complex emotional, mental relationship with Mother's Day, I think. I mean, not everyone. Some have a very direct, simple, thank you, Mom, and love you, Mom. But some of us really have other levels of complexity. I personally was well-mothered. I was well-grandmothered, at least on one side of my family. But I saw my father, who was not, and I really understood what it meant to have love withheld, love checked, love conditional. And it was hard. It was hard for him his whole life. He never outgrew it. His story never overcame the mothering he wanted, even though my mother provided him with enormous amounts of love. He did not find his way to peace with that. And that was because he lived completely in the outer, which is where almost everybody lives. And it's understandable. The outer universe is unbelievably addictive and attractive and compelling. And for most people, all there is. There's not even a signal or a sign that there's something else. There's something later, after, for many people, the afterlife, but the inner life, which is a present tense reality, for many people is not even considered. Where in our society are we pointing people inward? Not many places. So the fact that you guys are sitting here with a awareness of that inner, with a practice that allows you, if you want to do it, to go into that space, and then to discover what Mother's Day is. And it is to allow yourself to be unconditionally loved or known or touched. This is something we all want, but without the mechanism of inner stillness, if you're only allowed and only allow yourself the outer noise, you will not know what we're talking about here. Now, it's possible the last moment of life will be a release back into the arms of the Creator. And if you're lucky, your life will have given you enough preparation to meet that Creator with open arms and say thank you for what that ever, whatever that was, whatever this life experience was or is. But if you have not worked it through, that moment, assuming it arrives, will be challenging because you have not done the inner work of opening to that which is always present. If you live in an entirely materialized universe, when it dematerializes, and it will, you will be lost in the deconstruction of reality and of the stuff you know to be real and true. You will not know where to put yourself in the scheme of things because nothing will matter. Nothing will add up. Nothing will come together. When you have given yourself over to this deeper inner journey, you will discover that it is always there. It is always present. And now I'm going to challenge that. And I will say it is always present, except when it's not. And I will tell you, there are times where what is present appears to evaporate, to go away, to leave you completely alone, if you will, unmothered, unparented, unavailable, unconnected to anything. And I share that with you and have been sharing it with you these last months because I have discovered that so much of our journey, so much of the reality of our journey is not into total and endless embrace. It is into something bigger. I don't say it doesn't end with something like a total embrace. It may well. But what I am discovering is when it goes away, when it leaves you with zero, with nothing, there is an enormous awareness of a kind of truth that transcends the joy of being comforted and being held and being secured, being unsecure, insecure, being thrown out and tossed into the nothingness of being and finding out how to be in that is really the journey you have signed up for. Now, you may not know you've signed up for that journey, because most of us are seduced by, let us be mothered, let us be cared for by the Creator, let us throw ourselves back into the eternal bliss of being held by that which gave us life. And I don't say that isn't perhaps the end note. I don't know. But what I am being shown and what I am sharing with you, for reasons I don't even fully understand, other than that I am, in a way, going through it and being asked to share it, is that when you get really committed to this awakening process, to this realization process, to this enlightenment process, you have to be prepared for everything to go. You have to be prepared to leave the nest, to leave the mother, to leave what was comfortable. You have to be prepared for nothing to be there. And the only way you can endure that, truly, the only way you can endure that is for there to be no separate self relating to it. The separate self, the ego self, the manifested self in us cannot bear the amount of absence from presence that occurs. And the only way to bear it is to take a breath, relax. I've said this before, but ask, who is it that's finding it unbearable? And let that psyche, that person, that being, that part of you that's still there, relax. Just go, okay. It's all right. I'll accept this too. You relax, and the part of you that is reacting to separateness, to motherlessness, to aloneness, to being orphaned, if you will, by the universe, is a doorway to a deeper awareness of what I will refer to, and others have, as totality, which means everything and nothing. And you cannot only sign on for everything. You cannot only sign on for happiness, joy, love, and bliss. The world is not built only of those principles, and there is no reason it leaves you in that space. It leaves you in the space of everything, which includes nothing. And the only way to endure everything and nothing is to be not attached to nothing and not attached to everything. To get to a place where there is no one separate self reacting to all of it, the all and the nothing. There only is what is. That's the journey. That really is the spiritual journey. I think I'm really speaking for myself. There are certain ancient truths, I think, that are being included in what I'm saying, but I am being instructed, if you will, to share this with you, to let you know, especially as we go further and further and deeper into this journey of materialized being, that at some point for everyone, it will be removed. The material connectivity, the assurance of the what is externally, will be taken away. Bit by bit, or in one explosion, however it's done, the thing you would most want, I think, in life is to be allowing it to take place, to not be in battle mode, to not be frightened of loss, of decomposition, of dissolution, of watching everything go from a place of aso, of course. Because it's written in the beginning of the contract that we all sign up for. It's temporary, it's impermanent, it will be taken away. As I grew up, I never met anybody prepared for that. My parents talked a lot about the aches and pains of growing old. My grandparents went through dementia. They went through loss. And I did not see in that the signals of where I would end up. Somehow it happened to them. I was going to be different. I don't know how I was going to be different, but I think when I took LSD, when I met Rudy, I thought maybe I had found the way out of this dissolution into eternal bliss and being. And I may well have, because I get moments in my day-to-day life beyond anything I have ever known in terms of bliss, gratitude, joy, wonder, and all the rest. But I also get in waveform that I've described to you the complete absence and loss of all of that, which makes me realize every time I hold on to the joy and the gratitude and the bliss, I set myself up for the loss of it. So I am learning to witness it, and I am learning to go also. It is a phenomenal practice, just phenomenal. I recommend it. I recommend it week by week, to the point of obnoxiousness, I suspect. On the other hand, I tell you guys, if you can get what I'm saying, you don't need to come listen to this talk. You don't need me to say it on a weekly basis, but I would venture to say any spiritual teacher you will discover will ultimately be giving this same talk. I think the idea of mothering, the idea of being cared for, is so profound. The idea of fear of leaving the nest is so profound. The idea that we are really on our own is deeply profound. And it's all true. We are thrust out of the nest on our own. We either figure out how to move our wings or we have a very quick demise. Otherwise, we're thrown into the world, and the world is adventure, seeking what, really? Well, mostly to be mothered, mostly to find comfort, joy, protection, being held, being embraced by the world or by another, hopefully a partner, by one's children, by one's grandchildren, if you move in that direction, by one's career, by recognition, whatever it is that gives you that sense of, oh, I'm loved, I'm embraced, I'm safe. It's all great. And it's all the story of our lives. And our stories are really, you know, celebrated. Good stories are celebrated in novels and movies and television shows and all of that. And we all love that. And we all look to that. And we would all like to have a good story. But I will tell you, I'm not on Facebook, but I could pretty much tell you, if I looked at the lives of most of the people I knew in elementary school, I would not want to make a movie of any of their lives, really. They're not really good stories. They're stories, but they're like, eh, this happened, that happened, this happened, that happened, died. And I feel for everyone who doesn't have a good story, because I really love good stories. But I also understand how hard they are to come by, and how quickly drafts of things I've written have been thrown in the garbage because they weren't working, they weren't coming together. The journey of a spiritual life is an enormous way to tell a good story, because it's about awakening to truth, to beauty, to love, and to getting to clarity, which is a struggle. It is a practice, it is a life's practice. And if you can only get to the last millisecond of your life and go, ah, there's a story there. There's a great story there. If you get to the end and you finally, after saying no, 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 and you finally go, yes, good story. Third act, culmination, climax, arrival, back to this, back to a level of new embrace, new comfort, new awareness, new possibility, restorative life. That really is the journey that all of us are taking. And in the end, it's all a good story. And in the end, meaning if we have 500,000 lives, I believe, put them all together and they will add up to something you will be proud of. But for the time being, The real journey right now is move forward day by day, take your breath, be quiet, witness the mother inside, witness the depth of caring and love and embrace that you already have, and allow that to carry you through the moment to moment of your life. And then as life starts to disintegrate, fall apart, take things away from you, you will find so this is always as it was meant to be. It is nothing other than the contract I signed. They will give me and they will take it away. But the giving is not a having and a holding. It's a witnessing and a being present with. The taking away is not a losing. It is a witnessing and being present with. That's really the journey. We get to see and witness and touch and breathe and embrace life itself. It's an extraordinary thing. And we're all, each of us, in that right now, right this second. You may be at a different part of the journey. You may be in struggle mode. You may be in sad mode. You may be in, you know, pure joy and awakened mode. Doesn't matter. It's going to keep changing until the body is gone, or until you, as they say, realize you don't have a body. But whenever it comes to its fulfillment, you will discover, I believe, it remains what is and has always been present. Presence is this extraordinary reality that includes nothing. Nothing. So don't look at it as manifestation and something you can be aware of. Often there's nothing there. And if you can surrender to nothing there, you did it. Just nobody reacting to it. You are the very essence of it, and you are the very witness of it, not as a one-on-one, but as a being it itself. That's the journey we're on. It's really powerful. Not everybody in the world is built to go on this consciously. Many people find that they can't handle it. You guys are still here. You're still sitting here. You're still listening to these talks. You're still part of this process. All I can tell you from my very limited space is that it is an unbelievably worth it experience. It is not easy, although there are days it is, but it is everything that has to do with beauty and wonder. Everything that has to do with awe and gratitude, it's all present. So, you know, this is my weekly shtick. It's what I talk about. It's what I'm experiencing. I live this every day. I don't know what else to say. And I ask for your forgiveness if you've had enough of it, and truly sign out. If you don't want to hear it again, sign out. I will miss you, but I won't judge you. On the other hand, if anything being said here sparks something of like a aha or a way of dealing with this, even if it's 20 years from now, if it resonates at that point in time and you're finally able to go, okay, it's all worth it. So that's my my Mother's Day talk. If anybody has any questions about mothers, or fathers, or anything else, let me know. Erica.
Okay, I just want to tell you that what you're talking about helped me so much, because I am struggling with letting go of my son, who doesn't really need me that much, or at least I think he needs me, but he doesn't think he needs me. And yeah, so your talk was extremely helpful, but I guess I just want to hear a few last words so that I can take it with me on this special day.
Well, I mean, you're talking about it from the side of the mother, which is really interesting. You know, losing your children, having them move on, moving out of the nest, is the emptying of that is among the most painful experiences for a parent imaginable. That sense of loss, of course, gradually you discover, at least I have, that they don't fly that far away usually. They do come back. They do re-nest occasionally, but they're not yours again. They touch base. They bring love. You learn to accept it as it is. You realize that you did your work. You realize that they're able to fly because of what you gave and what you provided. And there's a certain sense of now accepting this inward space of aloneness, separateness, which in fact is not alone or separate. It is really connected to the true mother that you represented. You were the energy of this mothering force that you were able to give your son. And he was lucky to have you. And you will feel that as time goes by. You really will. Most of us who have children have the understanding that there is something global, ongoing, and very tangible that continues even when they fled the nest. And I will tell you, it's not always easy, and there's complications with them and with life in general anyway, because that's the way it plays out. But the underlying thematic connectivity that you have with your son is forever. It really is. It will not go away. It will only deepen. It will become what I call global. So it'll be both particular and global. And you will love him from the minute he was born to whatever other moment you find him in. And that's big love. That is huge. And you will experience that more and more as he moves out the door, because that's where it goes. It's massive. And it imitates the global love inside, but you have to go in the heart to find that. Otherwise, if it's only outside, it's doomed to be lost. And inside, it's not. It's not lost. It's eternal. So let him go and be ready for that. You know, it may help to have more than one child sometimes. I'm not sure that's true. And each child is complicated and difficult, and they don't always pay you back, and they don't always come back with what you want. And I have, for some reason, recently been very much in touch with three people whose children don't talk to them. That creates complications beyond belief. But there's no singular story here. There's multiple stories. I've watched you be a mother over the course of time, and I know you, and I know you have a big heart, and he will benefit from this, and I suspect you will have a joyous expansion as time goes on. So let him go. Let it happen. Anyone else? Todd.
Hey, Bruce, happy Mother's Day to everybody. And thank you, Bruce. I know often I hear you talk these post-meditation talks about, if you've heard it enough times, you don't need to come. I love you, all this. And I get that, because the talk is filtered through my personality, right? It involves words. So I have to interpret it, and maybe they don't land, but it's all post-meditation. The meditation itself, which is what sort of attracted me in the first place, is beyond my ability. There's no words, it's all energy. The new world's open for me. I have to actually disconnect from my personality in order to connect to something bigger, and my personality gets absorbed in it and then sort of reforms once the words talk. And it was, I don't know where this comes from either, but it was interesting because I got this image of like a jack-o'-lantern, where there's this light, this candle, the source of light inside. And then the image of the jack-o'-lantern could be very, you know, scary or beautiful. And that even the people that I don't like have this light that just gets projected through that image that I interpret. And oftentimes I'll miss that light source. And it's the meditation that sort of brings me back to that realization. And then it's the post-meditation where I try to reassemble myself and make sense of it. And so I need the meditation. So I know when people hear this, they don't get the meditation part, they just get the post-meditation words. So I guess I just wanted to acknowledge how important that's been in my life, just this connection of energy, the lineage that comes through, and all the unexplained, ununderstood stuff.
Wow, Todd, that was really beautiful. Thank you. Really well put. Appreciate it. Anyone else? We arrived at the end of this. Okay. 2 weeks, we'll be back. I'm considering starting real classes here in New York in person, and then having people who can't make it here in person come on to the West Coast classes. We'll see. It may crowd us out a little bit, but it's one approach to getting everybody on board. So, you know, be prepared when you come back in 2 weeks, there might be more of us. We'll see how that plays out. But I thank you guys. I thank you for coming. And I do one-on-one enjoy the light inside your jack-o'-lantern and how beautiful it really is. And that you show up is so meaningful to me. So thank you very much, and love to everybody. See you in 2 weeks.